understands the plan, and he will execute the plan. And when it comes to the plan of salvation, we need to expand our horizon and shift our paradigm. Now, a paradigm is a model, a pattern, a standard. A paradigm is a set way of doing things. So what Jesus is saying to us tonight is to change the current model we are using. There is something wrong with the pattern. Jesus is asking us to raise our standard. We need to think outside of the box. Inside the box is death. And tonight, we will be having a funeral. Along with this funeral tonight, there shall also be a resurrection. The disciples who walked with Jesus for over 3 years should have known what he was capable of doing. In fact, on 7 occasions, Jesus performed miracles in the midst of his followers. He changed water to wine in John 2, 1 to 12. He healed the nobleman's son, John 4, 43 to 54. He healed the paralytic man, John 5, 1 to 9. He fed 5,000 men in John 6, 1 to 4. In John 6, 15 to 21, he walked on water. He healed the blind man in John 9, 1 to 41. And in John 11, 1 to 44, he raised Lazarus from the dead. The disciples should have been able to think outside the box and understand that God can speak into existence the non-existent. The story of Jesus feeding the multitudes has been told and retold, and from it, numerous lessons have been gleaned. There are only a few stories that have made it into all 4 Gospels. These include the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. If a story is chronicled in all 4 Gospels, it must be significant. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is also found in all 4 Gospels. Why do they all mention that Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and fed people with them? When you read the account in the book of John, you realize that the disciples were the ones in need of a paradigm shift. They needed a new way of looking at Jesus. And I ask this tonight, do we too need a new way of looking at Jesus? They were familiar with his powerful teaching and his healing ministry. But when 5,000 people were holding their stomachs, suddenly they ran out of faith in whom they had been following. How often do we run out of faith when we are holding our stomachs for our friends, a mother, a brother, or our children? How often do we run out of faith? The Bible says that Jesus saw this crowd and said against the better judgments of his disciples that he would feed them. John 6, 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? You will note that he directed his question to Philip. Philip was his first disciple. Philip was there when Jesus turned water into wine. And therefore, you know, it might have been expected that Philip should have said, "Lord, if thou wilt, it is easy for thee to feed them all." In addition, being a native of the area, Philip knew the cost of such an endeavor. Philip's response is quick, short, and unbelieving. His analytical mind gets cranking and spells out the message of the impossible. Are there times when situations arise in your life and the head person, the said person that should know better, because of their intimate relationship with you, behave either with their words or their actions like everybody else? That ever happened to you? All of a sudden, when circumstances change, they doubt your ability. They question your character. They join your accusers. You look to your side, and they're gone. No support. Any husbands know what I'm talking about? Any best friends out there know what it's like? Are there any Philips in the house tonight? John 6:7 says, Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, the Clear Word Bible puts it this way. I don't think that 200 days' wages could buy enough bread to feed all these people, even if we only gave a little to each person. And I was thinking that if there was a Bajan version, it would read something like this. Even if you walk from sunrise to sunset, you ain't ever gonna have enough to feed all them people, even if you only give them a little bit. Philip was dead in his thinking. Philip was sadly stuck in the box. Philip, like many of us, needed to change his way of thinking. He needed a new idea, a different way of doing things. Church, do you know what's the definition of madness? Madness is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. It is time to get out of the box. Get out and by faith, pursue your dreams of owning your own business, of owning your own home. Get out of the box and write that novel you have long been wanting to. Get out of the box tonight and cut that CD that you have been planning for years. By the grace of God, hit the books and gain those CXCs. Jesus already told you she is the one. For God's sake, get out the box and ask her to marry you. Perchance, are you having difficulty with supporting Youth MegaFest 2008 because of the sermon titles? Perchance, are you having difficulty? I dare say to you tonight, it is because you are in the box. I get out and get on your knees and pray that at the close of Youth MegaFest 2008 that more of the youth in Barbados will be under the umbrella of Christ. Thank Jesus that someone has guts enough to drop it like it hot, if it means saving a soul for Jesus. And finally, I think it is time to take away yourself from the box. Now Philip was saying silently, Jesus, you may be a great teacher, but now, you really don't understand what's going on here. Like many of us, Philip was stuck in the box. We believe that God is great, but not great enough to take away our cancer. Jesus is all powerful. But you see that HPV? He can't move that. My God is untouchable, but it is not possible for him to touch my addiction to alcohol, ganja, cigarettes, blue movies, body piercing, and tattoos. He can't touch these. My friends, when we think like this, we are putting God in the box. We know the power of God, but we need to depend on Him to supply our needs. Philip had just returned from a mission trip, healing the sick, casting out demons. But rather than looking to God for a miracle, he looked at his wallet. How many people are looking at your wallets tonight? Philip, again, is like a lot of us. He is much, much better at defining the problem than solving it. He is seeing the problem, but he does not see the solution. And so, Philip establishes doubt. You desire to come to Jesus, but all you can see are problems. Losing friends, losing a job because of the Sabbath, afraid of what parents will say and do, afraid you will fail. My friends, this is the side of the coin that the devil supports. Where is your faith? The devil, he makes you see the impossible. But you see, my Jesus, he says to us, as he told his disciples after the young rich ruler walked away in Luke 18:27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. With God, your obstacles can become opportunities. Your problems will become possibilities. And then there's Andrew. Now I like Andrew. Andrew thinks outside the box. He came to Jesus with an idea. Now Andrew's alive. He's not dead in the box like Philip. In John 6, 8 to 9, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "There is a lad here, which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Now you see, Andrew, he at least had a remedy to the situation. My friends tonight, if you are not part of the solution, you are part of the problem. Now Andrew, he's not certain how it will work. His suggestion may have been considered nonsensical. But you know what? Andrew shared it anyway. Yes. And I could just imagine Philip's silent response. How can 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish feed 5,000 men? Andrew is just like his brother, mad as a hatter. Nonetheless, Andrew sought for a solution, and in doing so, found a lad with lunch. And when he did, I could just imagine the smile on Jesus' face. Jesus said in John 6:10, "Make the men sit down." So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Now, if mention can be made of Philip and of Andrew, then one has to make mention of the lad. Jesus didn't need the boy or what he had. But Jesus chose to involve the boy in the plan that he had. Yes. Now understand this. Jesus does not need me, and he does not need you. But you know what? Our Father loves us so much that he decided to involve all of us in the plan of salvation. Yes. My friends, there is no greater honor than to be allowed to work for and with the Lord. Now what the boy had was inadequate, but he offered what he had. What you and I possess is also inadequate. But I say to you tonight, offer it to God anyway. Give it to Jesus. All God wants us to do is to give him what we have. What are you holding on to that God can use? Your speech impediment, your rotten house, your broken down car, your broken dreams. it does not matter. He never, ever asks for more than you have, because my God supplies all the rest. I'm wondering, can we leave the house tonight as Andrews? Can we leave with an idea? I want you to look at the screen. And I want you to tell me, what do you see? A dot. Do we see anything else? People out of the box already. That is what you're supposed to be seeing. You're supposed to be seeing all that expanse of space around that dot. You know why? Because when we concentrate so narrowly on the black dot, we miss so many opportunities. God can and will surprise you in the way he brings incredible blessings into your life. The boy could have kept his 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread out of a sense of shame, a sense of inadequacy. He could have remained quiet out of a sense of selfishness. But it appears from the narrative that the boy, without hesitation, stepped out, gave Jesus his lunch. Now, children, you don't have to be an adult to do good deeds for Jesus. Women, you do not have to be a man to have faith in God. And men, you don't have to be feminine to have confidence in Jesus. King Josiah was 10 years old when he induced Israel into sacred revival. The little maid was just that, little, when she knew about the power of God. David was a mere lad when he caused the demise of Goliath of Gath. Like everyone else, the boy took his seat. See it with me now. On that hill, Jesus, back some 2,000 plus years. See that boy. Maybe he sat near to the miracle-working master. He looks at the bread and the fish, and at the same time, he looks at Jesus. And the Bible says, read with me, John 6:11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they would. Now, I believe probably more than 15,000 people were fed that day. You know why? Because the Bible records that there were 5,000 men. Now, I don't think it was a men's fellowship meeting. So I believe it is safe to believe that women and children were also there. And since women and children usually outnumber men in attendance, we can safely believe that that day more than 15,000 people were fed, and still at the end, 12 baskets remained. What a God we serve. Now, what is the meaning of this miracle to us living over 2,000 plus years later? It means that if we think of Jesus, if all we think of Jesus is what is in our box, then that is exactly what we're going to get. But tonight, Jesus wants to break your box wide open. He wants to burn your box in the fire of revelation and cause you to see the incredible things he can do for those who believe. Now, if Jesus can feed over 5,000 people with 2 small fish and 5 barley loaves of bread, he can feed your family with the little in your cupboard or the nothing at all. Do you hear me? If he can feed over 5,000 people with 2 small fish and 5 barley loaves, he can supply all your needs. And people, I don't say this because I can, but I say this because, and I want you to repeat this after me now, I say this because Philippians 4:19 says, my God, come on now, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. They said to the king of Babylon in Daniel 3:17, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. This world would be such a nicer place if we had more abstract thinkers. Not people like Philip, who had total doubt, but people like Andrew, who, even though there was a bit of doubt, found a lad with lunch. And people like the lad Reuben, who, even though his lunch was meant for the poorest class, gave it to Jesus. You know, I think maybe Phil Johnson and Bob Benson Sr. read the story of the lad and his lunch when they wrote. And I want you to think about it as I read it. Are you tired of chasing pretty rainbows? Are you tired of spinning round and round? Wrap up all those shattered dreams of your life and at the feet of Jesus, lay them down. Give them all. Give them all. Give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, and broken toys. Give them all. Give them all. Give them all to Jesus, and he will turn your sorrows into joys. The lad learns there is no limitation on what God can do with what God has given him. The lad learns that there is no limitation on what God can do with what God has given him. Is there a limitation on what God can do with what he's given you? Is there? To him and to us, the sky should be the limit to a limitless Savior. And the lesson in this narrative tonight, the lesson is not found in the lad's faith. The lesson is found in the Savior's ability to supply. If you desire for Jesus to supply all your needs, you must come to him with a fresh attitude, people. You gotta change the way you think of Jesus. You have to see him in a miraculous light. You need to recognize that there is nothing my God cannot do. He can accomplish what has never been accomplished. He can do for you what has never been done. He can achieve what has never been achieved. Now, if the walls of your life are closing in on you, and the space inside your box is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, if it's becoming difficult to breathe, then I ask you to raise your hand. If there's anybody here tonight who feels as though the walls are closing in on them, raise it. Don't be ashamed. You feel as though the walls are closing in and it's getting really difficult to breathe. Now, if your hand is still down and you're thinking that you can handle your box because it's quite comfortable and there's still room to maneuver, then I ask you just for a minute, imagine your life without the box. Imagine all those other opportunities. I want all of us to imagine life without our boxes. Are you beginning to see those possibilities? Are your horizons broadening? Are you beginning to see additional options outside of the box? Tonight, Jesus offers you freedom. When you step out of your box, I want you to imagine that freedom as you make your way to the altar. For all of you who are already living in that freedom daily, I ask you to come to the altar for a prayer of strengthening, a prayer in which you will seek God to help you to continue on the path you're on. Before you start moving, I need you to listen very carefully to the following. Some of you were given boxes when you arrived tonight. If you were, I encourage you to take hold of that box now. And if you didn't get a box when you entered, that's no problem. Jesus always provides. Make those hands into boxes. You can do it. Now that box that you're holding, or that hand that you have formed in the shape of a box, it represents the box that you're currently living in. What I need you to do is that in your mind's eye, see that box opening. And I want you to visualize yourself coming out of that box. If you need to close your eyes to do it, close your eyes and do it. See yourself coming out of that box. And as that box is emptied, I ask you to start putting inside that box all your problems, all your troubles. Put inside that box all your fears and all of your concerns. And after you've put them all in, I know there's still a little bit of room left. And that room is specially reserved. That room is reserved for the devil in hell. I want you to put Lucifer in the box tonight, because Lucifer is the only person who shall live a limited life. I want you to put him in, to squeeze him in, and to close that box. Is that box closed? Is that box closed? Can you see the closed box in your mind? Now get a key. Find a key somewhere in your mind. Lock that box. Lock that box and leave the devil in. And I want you to start coming. Start coming to the altar as a symbol. You're saying to Jesus tonight, I recognize that I've been living in a box. I recognize that I have fears in my life. I recognize that there's so much more I can do. But because of all my fears, because of what people might say, because I might fail, I choose not to. But tonight, I understand you're giving me permission. Jesus is giving you permission to come to the altar tonight. So I want you to stand. I want all of you to stand. And whether you have a box or you don't have a box, I want you to come to the altar, because there's something we're going to do with those boxes. As you come, I just want you to start placing those boxes on the coffin. Don't be afraid, there's nobody inside. Put those boxes on the coffin. And I want you to stay. Stay at the altar. And if you don't have a box, but you still feel the need, walk with your box. Walk with your hand box. And you symbolically place it on that coffin tonight. Now, friends, your box may be your job. Your box tonight may be your religion or even your church. Your box tonight could be your financial condition. Your box tonight may even be your marriage or generational curse. My friends, tonight, your box may very well be you. I encourage you to leave your box at the altar of God tonight.
Are you tired of chasing pretty rainbows? Are you tired of spinning round and round? Wrap up all the shattered dreams of your life, and at the feet of Jesus, lay them down. Give them all, give them all. Jesus. Shattered dreams, a wounded heart, and broken toys. Give them all, give them all. Give them all to Jesus, and He will turn your sorrows into joy. He never said you'd only see sunshine. He never said there would be no rain. He only promised a heart full of singing. About the very thing that once brought you pain. Give them all, give them all. Give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, and broken toys.
Presence. Your children have come to bury their boxes. We recognize that you have so much in store for us, and that the only thing that stands between us and receiving those blessings in our boxes are us. Father, we are tired of the lack of growth in the box. We are sick of the lack of new experiences. Lord, we have had enough of being dead while in a vertical position. May those boxes stay in the grave tonight. And may hope, faith, effort, dreams and visions be resurrected. Father, after tonight, may doubt and fear be a thing of the past. May you have given us a spirit of fear. You have not given us a spirit of fear, Father, but you have given us a spirit of power and of love. Merciful Father, remove our unbelief. Open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. And by your Holy Spirit, may we live victorious lives. And finally, Lord, for those who are already walking in that victory, for those who have already decided to get out the box and have been existing outside of the box, I ask only that you will continue to strengthen them, that they may be an example for others to encourage them to live outside of the box. I ask these in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I believe, I strongly believe that there may be somebody here tonight who doesn't just want to do the symbolic thing of putting the box on the coffin, of just letting go of the troubles. I think there's somebody here tonight who wants to let go of themselves totally.
Thank you, Jesus.
Who wants to surrender to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if that person is you, remember, no more fear. No more fear. I ask you to join Pastor Padmore and the rest of us on the rostrum as he offers a prayer.
And tonight is a wonderful opportunity. I always believe that when the Word of God is presented, Bible says that it shall not return void. And I believe that the individuals here tonight, you know, I'm amazed how God works. Sometimes we leave and just accept an invitation from a friend to come to church. But long before you got here, God already had a plan for you. And God had a message prepared for you. You see, God has one plan for you really, and that is he wants to save you. That's what God wants for you. And I think that you've come into the environment tonight where salvation has been offered. And to me, the only wise thing that one can do, having heard the word of God, is to accept the word of God. Because ultimately, one of these days you can get in a real box like this here. Understand? And when you're getting it, everything would have been decided. When you get in one of these real boxes, if your mind was made up for Jesus, there's nothing that the devil in hell can do to change that. On the contrary, if your mind has not been made up for Jesus, and you go in one of these, or perhaps your family may be able to put you in one more glamorous than this one here, there's nothing that my God can do to change anything that you would have decided before. And I say tonight, my friend, I believe that there are other individuals. You know, tomorrow, as was said earlier, tomorrow men and women, boys and girls from all across this land will make that very important decision, declaring their intentions that they're finished with the world, they're finished with all the pleasures and all the things that the enemy just causes to look so glitzy and blitzy, and all the bling and the ring and the ting and all the other kind of things. But that one day will pass away. The only thing that will last, I tell you, forever, is what Jesus gives. And tonight he has given you, he's offered to you, he has extended to you. And I think, brethren, you'd be unwise to leave here tonight not to accept that offer. All the way to Calvary he went for you. He didn't only provide bread and fish for you. As a matter of fact, he does that daily. Every day. There's no, I can almost vouch that there's no Barbadian that goes to bed without a meal. You may not get three square ones. Even the vagrant just get out good. All right, listen to me. You may not have three square meals and things of that nature. You may not have all the various carbohydrates and the protein and the nuts and the third. But I know that the people in this land just get something to eat every day. You may be more blessed. You may have three square meals or perhaps more than three square meals. So God is good to all of us. And he extended that goodness to the extent that he went all the way to Calvary and died for us. And I say, brothers and sisters, that when he extends an opportunity for us to give ourselves to him, the only silly thing that we can do is to turn away from that invitation. The wise thing that we can do is to accept that invitation and to make that commitment. I often say, and I'll say it again, you know, sometimes we take just hearing the message and hearing the call, we just take it for granted. Well, I ain't ready yet. But don't you know that every time you do that, heaven is recording. That's why the word of God says that when Jesus Christ comes, every person that is lost cannot say, I didn't have an opportunity, because my God has recorded everything. The word of God say books, because you know that's the language that was read then. But you know, I want to think that God is more on the cutting edge of technology than what Microsoft and all the other places would offer. My God has it. But he has a record. And that's why the word of God says, finally, before God's people go to heaven and all those who have rejected him go to hell, the word of God says that every knee shall bow. I can see some atheists bowing down. I can see some agnostics bowing down. I can see some people who say, well, look, I don't believe in God. I believe in Satan. I believe in this and I believe in it. The word of God says every knee, those who love God and acknowledge him and serve him, and those who didn't acknowledge him and serve him, who didn't believe that he existed, the word of God says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So to me, the best thing to do right now, don't run to the rocks and the mountains when it will be too late. The best thing to do is to run to the rock, Christ Jesus, now and find salvation full and free. Tomorrow, on the brighter side of this Holy Sabbath day, there's going to be a baptism. Men and women from all across Barbados, all across the Caribbean, Dominica, St. Vincent, Trinidad, Jamaica, is going to be beamed all around the world via 3ABN. And all of God's people from across the Caribbean, from across the world, who would have taken their stance, would be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Somebody here tonight who has accepted Jesus Christ. And I say this final thing. You know, there's some of us who believe that in order for a person to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, they have to go through this whole gamut of sermons, 5-6 weeks. And there's some individual who believe that having gone through that, you know, even before you're baptized, you should be taught until the cows come home. Who say that? That has no scriptural support. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, preach, teach, baptize, and teach again. And the Bible is replete with examples of individuals who heard just one sermon and came to Jesus. Tonight, you've heard one. And I say tonight, my brothers and sisters, you have been thinking, young man. You have been thinking, young lady. The time to think has come. The time to act is here. I'm saying to you tonight, why not act upon what you've been thinking about? Step out tonight, out of your box. Step into another realm and give yourself to Jesus Christ. Is there someone here tonight who wants to say, Jesus, I want to confess publicly that I'm giving my life to you for the very first time? You know, Lord, I might have started out before, I might have messed up, but I want to recommit myself tonight. And tomorrow, when those individuals from across the island take their positions in the watery grave of baptism, I want to be in that number. You want to say that and you want to step forward here, please come right now before we have that closing final prayer. Young man, young lady, man, woman, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ tonight, tonight. You see, I know what tomorrow. One thing I know about tomorrow is that tomorrow is certain, but there's no guarantee that you can see it. I tell you, there are scores of individuals across this land who go into bed tonight and they're planning to go to Bridgetown tomorrow, go to the beach tomorrow, do this tomorrow, and do the next. And they're going to see tomorrow's sun. Just like that. Word of God says life is like a vapor, you know, it just rushes out and you just can't put it back into there. It's like a flower, it blooms in the morning, and before the sun can set, it's all withered and died. Tonight you have life. You may not have it tomorrow. Why not make that commitment? If you have not yet made that commitment to Jesus Christ, why not do it tonight, young man? Why not do it tonight, young lady? Why not do it tonight, mister? Why not do it tonight, miss? Is all the time you have. I invite you to bow your heads for this final prayer. Dear Jesus, we certainly give you thanks tonight for how you were able to use your handmaiden, Sister Natalie. Lord, we believe that tonight, that which you spoke through the prophet Joel in chapter 2, verse 28, Lord, we've seen ripples of that fulfillment, even as young men and young women will dream dreams and young men and young women will see visions and will preach your everlasting gospel. Lord, we give you thanks for the mighty working, not only through Sister Natalie tonight, but throughout the week where you use other young men and women. We pray, dear God, that these men and women will continue, Lord, to feed so deeply on your word that this word would grow up, Lord, and it would cause a mighty stir across this land. Lord, we understand that there's so many young men and young women who are right now in trouble. Perhaps right now there's some heading to prostitution. Perhaps there are some right now who are about to ingest something, Lord, that will cook their brains and they will destroy this system and that will cause their potential to be cut short, Lord. Their abilities, Lord, would be affected. I pray, dear God, that you would bring back some sanity to their minds and help them to see, Lord, that they don't have to throw up their arms in despair. They don't have to give up in hopelessness because there's hope in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would be able to intercept them, Lord, before they make that final catastrophic decision that would bring an end to their lives. Lord, set young men and women free all across this land. Help us, Lord, that we would connect with them, that you would be able to direct them to us or us to them, Lord, that we'd be able to save them before time changes to eternity. Lord, we, like Nehemiah, we're doing a good work, and we can't come down. Lord, there's so many who would want us to come down and get into folly, to stay in the box and stay, Lord, thinking that there's no hope, that everything that we look at is a roadblock, it's a dead end, it's a no way, it's a cul-de-sac. But Lord, we know that when we step out of the box and we start seeing as you see, that we can see endless possibilities, because all your biddings are indeed enablings. Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands. We give you thanks, Lord, for those who tonight have decided, and tomorrow, Lord, all across this island, we will converge at the gymnasium, and all of God's people, those whom you've rescued, Lord, from the hands of the enemy, will stand up and declare, not only to the public here in Barbados, but throughout the Caribbean and throughout the world, they will declare that it is their intention and desire to serve Jesus for the rest of their days. Put your divine seal upon them, Lord, and I pray, dear God, that even tonight, before we leave this place, someone would even come to one of the elders and say, look, I was not bold enough to come forward, but I want to make my decision for Jesus. I want to let the world know also that I am in with Jesus. I am out of the box, that narrow way of thinking, and I'm thinking now with a divine perspective in mind. Thank you, dear God, for the support of the brethren during the week. We thank you, Lord, for the mighty swelling of the attendance tomorrow at the gymnasium. And that, Lord, will continue throughout the week, even until next Sabbath, the 22nd. So, Lord, have your own way, and we give you thanks. And I pray, dear God, that when you come in your kingdom, that we would hear the well done, good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. This we ask with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Somebody needs to talk to me before you leave. Please do so, and let me know of your decision for your Jesus.
I encourage you to leave this place tonight having faith that Jesus has delivered you. Accept his blessings tonight, and may you reach home safely, and may you have a blessed Sabbath.
From the streets of Reed.